BMore's92Q.com, home of Ricky Smiley and Nonstop Jams. Kiki Brown holding it down with the man of the city. And I want to say I'm very honored to have you here with me today. Baltimore City Police Commissioner Anthony Batts.
Thank you so very much, Kiki, and thank you for having me here.
Thank you for actually wanting to talk to the 92Q staff and our community in what's going, you know, how we need to focus on having a safer summer.
Absolutely. And I think it's good to give me the opportunity. Our message doesn't always get out as we try to get it through the media. So it's very good to come on the radio, talk to people, listen to people, know what's going on. And more importantly, today is a very good day for me because the Heat spanked some butt last night.
First things first. You just come at a Spurs fan, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm only a Spurs fan because I went to school with one of the players' dads. And
really?
So I had to. Yeah, I'm from Pittsburgh.
Oh, I am so. I feel so
You're
sad
so
for
sad.
You. I'm
sorry.
So sorry.
Right.
I
heard that before. Whatever. Anyway, congratulations. Heat, whatever. Yeah, so great. Congratulations. So why don't you tell us, first off, what are your plans for Baltimore becoming a safer summer?
Well, not just a safer summer, but a safer city overall.
Okay.
And what we're putting together and have put together is five goals that I focus on. And I've put part of my staff in charge of these goals, and there's a couple things that we're doing. The most important thing is that I want to connect with the community. You know, I come from, I wasn't born in Baltimore, and you know that because I didn't go to Dunbar or go to the other high schools. And anytime you ask anybody from Baltimore, it's always the high school that they went to.
Right.
But my family's from the immediate area, and I come from a very poor environment growing up in South Central Los Angeles. And so when I was growing up, I always wondered or asked the question of my parents, did anybody give a darn about me or somebody who looks like me growing up? And that's why I do what I do, and that's what has brought me back to Baltimore and brought me back to where my family is from in the area. Our focus is on five pillars. Number one is our focus is on gangs and guns and people who are out there killing, robbing, and shooting and hurting others that are in the community. Our second pillar is community engagement. To a greater extent than this organization ever has, we need to get involved in the community. Mm-hmm. I think in some of the parts of the community, we're seen as an occupying army. There's a visceral hatred of our organization in some places, and that has to change. And we have to change how we do policing in the city as a whole. I don't have any tolerance for people who take lives, who kill or hurt and harm, but also expect out of a police organization respect for the community and how we do, and we do it in a professional way. Our third pillar is actionable, timely intelligence, which means for us getting information and data through the organization faster, better, quicker, and with better technology, which is our fourth pillar, which is improving technology. And unfortunately, inside our organization, we're dealing with antiquated technology. We have things like Lotus Notes, which is like 1970s technology, 1980s, that is collecting our data and our information. So within the next year, theoretically, we should be coming online with better technology, more technology. When I came on, started doing police work in the early 1980s, I had a computer in a police car the first day that I started. And that's somewhere close to 31, 32 years ago. We don't have computers in our police cars today. And so within the next 12 months with grant funds, we're going to give every officer in the field tablets where we can put data information. We can do it quicker, faster. We're in the process of purchasing tasers for all of our police officers. So if we have to take people into custody, we can do it in a more humane way without injuries to the residents and without injuries to the officers as a whole. Mm-hmm. We're looking at an array of, without going through all the different pieces, an array of new technologies that are coming in to bring this organization up to speed, up to the level that it should be into 2013. Our last pillar, and I think in many ways the cornerstone and most important pillar, is ethics, integrity, and accountability. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had a number of scandals and things that we can't turn our head around in this organization. And I tell the officers clearly, I have no tolerance for corrupt cops, none, zero. And I'm very serious about that. I've brought a gentleman in with me from the West Coast who our focus is to root that out within this organization. And whether we have to hold people to a higher standard or if those who are bad to send them away and put them in handcuffs if necessary, I have no tolerance for that. And as we become an ethical professional organization, that is our fifth pillar that we will build upon.
That's amazing. My position, not just as an on-air personality, I am a single mom
mm-hmm.
of a young 15-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
I do live in the county, but mm-hmm. of course, I do a lot of my work in the city. I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I am afraid to lose my son
yes.
to any type of violence,
yes.
whether it's robbery, homicide, murder, whatever it is. So I kind of keep them in, and I know that I can't do that mm-hmm. and teach them the rule at the same time. So I believe that your five points are mm-hmm. really going to help the community. So do you have the backing of the city? Do you have the backing to implement this immediately? When is this going to?
We've already started this. I work for a wonderful boss. Her name is Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake.
I love her.
And she's one of the reasons why I came here.
Yeah.
She was a selling point. When you come into these jobs and you take on, you know, some of the tough cities, I've been in the city of Oakland and been in the city of Long Beach where I started, is that you have to have the support of your bosses and you have to have a champion in my last position. That was the case. The person who brought me in retired and I had another person. And if you don't have a champion when you're taking on tough issues, when you're pushing the limits, because I think what leadership is not managing the status quo. Mm-hmm. It is providing a vision. It's providing a path. It's taking on tough issues. And I see my job as a commissioner and on the West Coast, it was chief of police a little differently. Mm-hmm. I see myself as part of the community. I see myself as an activist. I see myself having to take on sensitive issues and talk about things.
Yeah.
We got to talk about gender issues. We have to talk about racial issues. We have to talk about things that keep us from being one community, one Baltimore. And that is my mantra at this point in time, is that we move towards being one Baltimore, but we have to talk about the things that prevent that and have honest conversations about it. And I think being in my position allows me to stir that pot to a certain degree, not to stir it to just be stirring it, but to stir it so we make progress as a city. What I've shared with this police department is that I want a championship team. I want a team that is seen as one of the best, not only in Maryland, but in the nation as a police organization, and an organization that our community says, I like this police department. I like how they police us, and that you don't have that visceral hatred at that level. So it's not going to happen overnight. It didn't get here overnight, but that is my path, and that is what I'm trying to accomplish.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because it seems to me that these programs, both identifying those corrupt police officers and trying to get the crime off the streets, you need cooperation mm-hmm. from the community.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems to me that you would get the community to step up more so or faster when they have to point out a corrupt cop.
Absolutely.
But not the crime. So how do you...
I think you do both.
Okay.
I think if you have the respect of the community, which is where you have to get, and in the theory level, it's a theory of legitimacy.
Yeah.
And certain organizations or in cities, the police department is seen illegitimate. You can say that we have the lowest crime rate, we've dropped it to the lowest point, but if they hate you, if your community hates you and you can say that, then it doesn't serve a purpose and it's still being illegitimate. And what we're trying to do is move this organization to dropping the crime rate and having all the communities say they're doing the right things for the right reasons. You're not going to win over everybody. That's just not going to happen.
Right.
But you need to win over the majority of the residents. And when you have that legitimacy, they will tell you everything that's going on. Because what they want to know is that, number one, you're not doing the same things that the bad guys are doing out there. Number two is that you're going to treat people with respect. You're not going to beat them down. You're not going to hurt them. And then the citizens will come to your aid to help clean up their own community, because they know you're doing it not for some other reason other than you want to take care of the community, because you're part of the fabric mm-hmm. of the community.
You have to earn the community's trust.
You have to earn the respect and
you
their
do.
Trust.
Yeah,
yes.
And people want to demand it, and
yes.
you don't demand respect, you earn it.
That's right.
So that's right. What my parents taught me. The thing that play a part, there are several things that play a part in what brings the crime about in a lot of major cities: lack of employment,
mm-hmm.
Drugs,
mm-hmm.
mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the city, how is the city going to embrace these situations to help your department mm-hmm. or your organization better do your job?
Right.
Because those are big factors right
No,
there.
You're absolutely right. And it's funny because police departments many times are limited in their tools, people mm-hmm. think initially. And I think the police department in Baltimore has actually done a very good job at reducing violent crime. We've gone from 350 down to 197. And so the organization has done a good job, and it's focused, you know, to a certain degree in a monolithic way of addressing crime that way, but through arrest. But if you're really going to get the numbers down, where the mayor has made it very clear, she wants the numbers down dramatically, and she has a right to ask that, and she's thinking probably more in the area of 100, not 197, maybe 100 or lower, so we get out of the top 10 cities for homicides per capita, and so we become a safer city, which mm-hmm. is our goal. But in order to get that, you have to get out of just doing arrests. You just can't arrest people to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
What I've been talking about in the community is what the military calls nation building. And what that means is how we apply that in Baltimore is every single year is that we have crimes that spike in the eastern part of our city and the western part of our city. And when I was researching, I saw it going back 15, 20 years. Same place, same locations, happen year after year. And our response to it is the same every year, which is we move a lot of resources over there and we occupy that space. And we wait to next year where we'll start the same cycle over again. Well, if you keep running your head into the wall and expecting the different results, we know that's not called mm-hmm. intelligence. That's called insanity or stupidity, one of the two. But we continue to do the same thing. Right. If you're going to get dramatic crime drops in the city that the mayor is looking for, you have to have, number one, all parts of city government involved that deal with mental illness, that deal with kids, that deal with unemployment, that deal with economic development, that deals with rebuilding the capacity of a community to build itself up. When you just tell a community, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, not everybody knows how to do that. It's right. Like you go into the churches and say, I need your help to help me with drug abuse. Not every church is built to deal with drug abuse. Mm-hmm. And so you have to bring in the experts to work with the community, work for the community to build up the capacity that's happening in the community itself. But not only just city government, what I'm doing is I'm going citywide and I'm having the same conversation to all parts of the city. And I'm talking about tough subjects. I'm talking about, I think, what separates parts of our community sometimes are racial issues. Mm-hmm. And I said that to a crowd, and I happen to be probably one or two of the only African-Americans in this room of probably about 60 or 70 people, and didn't know how it was going to be received. And the audience says, you're absolutely right. And I said, but no one talks about it. And they said, you're absolutely right. And I said, well, we need to start, because they started that particular meeting talking about issues within their neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I said, we need to have a conversation about neighborhoods where people who reside in a neighborhood may not look like you, they may not speak like you, they may not dress like you, they may not listen to the same type of music that you do, but we have to hold the city as one whole. And they actually said, you're absolutely right, and we want to get involved, and how do we do it? Wow. And so very surprisingly, you have other communities in Baltimore who want to help. They want to get involved. They want to help build that capacity. So for us to rebuild our city, to rebuild the parts of our community that has been beaten down and has been not paid attention to for a long time, to build that capacity, we need all these entities and collaboration coming together. And I'm getting choked up. That's what we need to do as a police department. That's where our role is a little different, that we're just not arresting people. We become that piece that galvanizes all these pieces to come in to start working together to make our community different and better.
With the initiatives that you have, Commissioner, it seems like, and you said you got a little choked up, you know, I have a passion for the community as well. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it makes our work so difficult when you don't have the community to support you. You may yes. have everything else, but you don't have the community to support you. So as 92Q mm-hmm. being the voice of the community or helping the community kind of express themselves, what is it that you need from 92Q? What do you want us to do? Because we want a safe community as well. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to walk the streets. My bosses want to be able to walk the streets, you know, safely and not have anything to worry about. We know it's not going to be the Wizard of Oz, the mm-hmm. Land of Oz, mm-hmm. but, you know, help us help you. What can we do to help you?
You know, part of that, on a lot of different levels, and literally and figuratively, speaking of walking the streets, we're in the Western where we have those crime spikes. Every single Friday at 6 o'clock, we do a walk every single week, and the walk is a little to just show people what we're doing. But that group has grown larger and larger each week that we go out there, whether it's rain or sun or shine. And I've missed the last couple weeks for different reasons, but we've been walking out there in the rain. We walked out there in the cold. We walk every single week to let people know how engaged we are, and we have residents that are coming from around the city to participate in the walk to let people know. We care enough. We may not everybody lives here, but we care enough to be here in this community. And as we do the walk, we're greeting residents. We're telling them what we're doing. We're asking them to get involved. And it's a lot of churches that are involved in our walk also. The council people are very involved out there. Councilman Mosby has been out there every single week, and he's leading that march. So figuratively and literally, that's what we're talking about. Also, I have Lieutenant Colonel Melvin Russell, who is my spearhead. He's my armor bearer as we deal with community engagement. That is his role. And if we can put out, and if he hasn't been here yet, we will have him on the air and share with you how you can connect with him. He's going to be the guide arm to place different people when they want to do different things. Because even in that community that I went to, and I kind of said, I want you to get involved. And this is a little different from coming from me. And mm-hmm. I said, One of the things that you can get involved in, because people are sometimes leery about contacting teenagers, not knowing how to interact with teenagers, how to speak with them, or the issues of having too much testosterone and knowing how to address that. I said that may be the case, but, you know, there's a fact in literature right now. If a child does not know how to read by third grade, not the possibility, but the probability of them failing out of school is extremely high, in the 90 percentile. So if a child is not literate by third grade, they usually don't make it past the ninth grade. Wow. And so our high school dropout rate, because the kid disengages, they fall out. And so I asked some of these other communities, and I talk about 92Q, what you can do is, if people want to volunteer, you may not want to engage and connect with young teenagers, and some people have the expertise to do that. But how about reading programs in our local schools? How about spending 1 hour not looking at the heat, not looking at the Spurs, but spending 1 hour to sit down and help a child to read? Mm-hmm. And so that they don't come in contact with people like me in my uniform, and so they become successful and you give them hope. Head Start programs have been shown to help kids dramatically before they get into school, to give them literacy and help them to be successful. So these things that are not traditional law enforcement pieces, these are the pieces that are going to help our community do better. These are the pieces that are going to help our kids graduate from high school and hopefully go on to college. These are the pieces that are going to keep them out of the system, keep them out of going to being incarcerated and other things along those lines.
Is there going to be an emergency line if someone wants to call in? I know that there's something already implemented for the city, but if there's an emergency line where people in the community can call if something is going wrong and they can remain anonymous, if there's already something going on, can you reiterate what it is? Or if there's a new program that's been established, can you let us know what it is?
Yeah, so I'm getting a number for you right now. And actually, we get a lot of calls from our Crime Stoppers hotline. Mm-hmm. And we've used that on a regular basis. And people can call in and have been calling in and do share. But it's a funny thing. This is my third city that I've gone to. Mm-hmm. And as I kind of laugh, and we always talk about trying to defeat the non-snitching rule that's out there, or the concept or culture.
Which is so tired. Like,
yeah.
Really.
And it's not even true. I tell you the truth, I've been doing this stuff like 30 plus years. And when you get your very hardcore gang members seated in a seat and saying you're going to prison, they start telling on their grandmother, their mm-hmm. mother, their daddy, their father. They tell on everybody. Mm-hmm. But they'll tell these young kids out here, yeah, this is a no snitch rule. But that's how we solve these crimes. Right. We're solving them because when we get a hard time on these guys, tell on everybody. And they mm-hmm. tell on everything. But that mystique is out there, and they talk a lot about it, but that's not reality, and it doesn't take place. Crime Stoppers number is 1-866-LOCKUP, LOCKUP. Again, 1-866-LOCKUP, and that's our Crime Stoppers numbers. You give that a call. You don't have to tell us a name. Just give us information, and we've solved a number of crimes that way, and it's a very useful tool for us.
I may be telling my age, and I know you have to go, but I may be telling my age growing up, we were told to talk to or remember or respect Officer Friendly. Mm-hmm. Was always, I know, you didn't have to do that. Okay. Anyway, so Officer Friendly, he was on TV, he was in newspapers, he was everywhere. And we remember, just as little children, you bring up the Head Start classes when you see Officer Friendly, say hello, Officer mm-hmm. Friendly, and Officer Friendly was just as friendly. So I love the fact that you have this initiative to bring back Officer Friendly. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking that our 92Q listeners, our community, those that are industries that think that Officer Friendly doesn't exist, he's coming back. He mm-hmm. is. He's always been, but he's kind of like been pushed to the side. Officer Friendly is back, and I appreciate you, Commissioner,
yes,
that
ma'am.
You have these programs to help me as a mom mm-hmm. and as a woman feel safe. I know that there's something going to be done, mm-hmm. that something is being done. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to just tell you that I really appreciate
Thank
that.
You,
we have more complaints than we have solutions.
Yes.
And I think we complain so loud, we don't really hear
right.
that there are solutions
yes.
coming. So.
Yes. And we got to work together, not only Officer Friendly, but Officer Respectful
yeah.
too at the same time. They're partners. And I think what I have to retrain within the police department is if the community respects you, mm-hmm. if the community trusts you, they will talk to you. And as long as they know you have their well-being together, then the city will start to grow. This police department has a dramatic economic impact within the city and the long-range life of the city. If we don't, number one, drop that crime rate and get it down lower and bring more businesses that can employ more of our residents and give more jobs, then we're just going to have a lot of unemployed people sitting on their stoop and crime is going to get worse. And so I think as this police department has to shift and has to change, and it has a lot of good people in it, and I don't want to give the opinion that you have a lot of bad police officers in here, because police officers of different gender, race, colors, and ethnicities, I see them out here doing a very good job and making a difference. So solutions are there. We're here to serve. We're here to serve our community.
So make sure you log on to our website, 92Q.com, to get all the information that you need. We will definitely have your department's link posted at 92Q.com. Any last words other than congratulations to the Heat, like you did already?
No, I just want to say congratulations to the Ravens, the home of the Super Bowl champions.
Yes.
And I like to come back at different times. And like I said, thank you for giving me the opportunity. Sometimes when we're covered, a lot of negative comes out and not the positive, and a lot of wonderful things that we're doing. So I like to come back at different times and just share with your listeners what's happening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's 92Q.